This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
For those of you that are visiting us, we are on part 7 of Abram's faith, and we've been exploring his faith and what we can learn from him as our father of faith. The one to whom God calls us to believe like Abram. And please, if you've missed that, you're more than welcome to find the context of all that we have been sharing on the internet. Those sermons are for free. God called Abram out of his country to leave all behind and to follow him to a different country. To be part of God's plan in which ultimately all the families of the world will be blessed. God had a big plan, a greater plan than Abram himself, to bless the world through his son that would come into the world. God promised Abram the land as an inheritance, and Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So he left everything and followed God to this promised land. Abram was literally on a journey of faith. And his understanding of God and faith grew along that journey as he followed God. Abram's faith got tested and God reaffirmed his promise. But the reality is God's plan was bigger than Abram. God's purposes was far greater than one man. His blessing was greater than then for just one person. And God's calling was more than Abram's inheritance. Abram had to learn about this plan. Abram had to understand that he was part of something greater. He was part of a greater plan to bless all the families of the world. And Abram's faith grew along this journey until he could understand, believe, and buy into that greater plan. Last week we saw that the focal point of this promise to Abram from his understanding when it started was the promise of an inheritance in a country that was not his own. And so God called him from one place to go to another place. And God said, as you leave this place, I will take you to another place and I will give that as your inheritance. And so Abram followed God. We see in Genesis 15 verse 7, and he said to them, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. But the challenge is, Abram never saw the fulfillment of that promise. Abram never physically inherited the land. We read in Acts chapter 7 from verse 2 to 5, and he said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abram when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you. And he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and went in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to his land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it. Not even enough to set his foot on. But when Abram had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. Very powerfully, as we look back at the life of Abram, at the end of his life, that promise was never fulfilled in his life. As a matter of fact, he dwelled in that land. God showed him the entire land from the length to the breadth. God made him journey throughout the land that he promised as an inheritance so that he could see everything that God has promised. But he did not inherit it. He did not see the day when that became his possession in the natural. As a matter of fact, 430 years later, Joshua took the people of God into the promised land. Long after Abram's death, that promise came to be. But you know, along this journey, something happened to Abram's faith. Something happened from what he could gain for himself in his life to become part of something greater. Hebrews 11, from verse 1 to 2 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then the list of the heroes of faith who took hold of the promise of God, even though they did not inherit it in their lifetime, they took it as their own. And they were commended for it. Hebrews 11 lists the hero of faith that include Abram and Sarah. They were commended for their faith, having confidence in what they hoped for, and being assured of what they did not see yet. Hebrews 11 speaks of that. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelled in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which foundations and builder and maker is God. Abram never saw the fulfillment of that promise. But in the end of his life, he was no longer looking for what he could see gain in this world or in his lifetime. He was looking for something greater, a heavenly city, the city which foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for an eternal inheritance. It started off on a journey for something that he could gain in his lifetime, something that he could say is his own. And along that journey, his faith grew to the point that he was no longer looking for what he could gain in this life. He was looking for something greater. It is that faith that God calls us to imitate. Hebrews 11 verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, was assured of them, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out of, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You see, Abram was no longer looking for an earthly country, an earthly inheritance. No, rather, he was looking for an heavenly country whose architect and builder is God. Powerfully, God is not ashamed to be called his God and prepared a city for him. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? John 14 verse 2 to 3, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. In Matthew 25 we read, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep to his right hand, and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of mine, of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, we too have an inheritance that God has called us to. Abram's focus changed along his journey of faith. He gained an eternal focus, buying into God's greater plan. No longer for what he could gain here on earth, but for what he could gain for eternity, to inherit the eternal kingdom. Now, how does that faith relate to us in our day? Firstly, we are called to believe like him. so that we can share in His inheritance and His blessings. We too are called out of the world, which we know so well, where we belong. We too are called out of the world to follow God into another kingdom. And so we too have to take that step of faith. A kingdom not of this world and its desires. We too are called to live as strangers, pilgrims in this world while we are on our way to our eternal home. And so we read in 1 Peter 2 verse 11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul." And we too, like Abram, have an opportunity to return to the world, the country that we came from. Just like Israel had an opportunity too to go back to Egypt where they came from and not enter into the promised land, not take hold of what God has given us. It's only those of faith that entered the promised land. Even though God gave it as an inheritance to the Israelites, because of their unbelief, they never entered into it. Because they were constantly longing to go back to Egypt. And God says, this is your promise. This is your inheritance. But you need faith. It's not going to fall out of the sky. You need to have faith. And we know the story. They did not believe. They longed back for Egypt and they died in the desert. See, the reality is, to enter into the promised land, they had to take ownership of it by faith. They had to fight for it. God did not just give it to them, they had to participate. It wasn't a passive journey. Following God in faith is never passive. He didn't start so with Abram. When God called him, he responded to the call and he stepped out of his country and God accounted it for him as righteousness. And so Abram's journey was never passive, but active. And so too his descendants after him to gain what God has promised was never passive, but active. They had to take ownership in faith, participate with God to gain what He had promised. And only those of faith possessed the land. We too are on a journey of faith to inheritance not on this earth, but an eternal inheritance. Just like Abram, our faith requires action, obedience, participation, ownership. And yes, we too often stand at the banks of the Jordan, hearing the message and the promise. And we send out spies ourselves and they often come back with a mixed report that this inheritance is too hard. It is too difficult. Sometimes, no, we can take possession of it because God is with us. He promised us and He will not leave us. And we stand at the banks and we make a decision, which report are we going to believe? Matthew 28, we hear so clearly God says to us, this is our inheritance. Go and take it. All authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. And often we send out spies just to check for ourselves. But God has said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. To the end of the age, I am with you. This eternal kingdom that God speaks of, in this dispensation, it grows on the earth through the church when people get saved. That's how the kingdom of God advances on the earth in this dispensation. It is when men and women, children, young, old turn to God, bowing their knees, surrendering their life to Jesus, when they are plucked out of darkness into the kingdom of light, that is how the kingdom of God advances. It's not a passive journey. It's for those who take ownership of it, that steps out in faith into it, and participate with God, not listening to the spies that says it's too hard and too difficult. But to those who say, but if God is with us, nothing is impossible. And so we are called into this inheritance, to participate with Him. And yes, even taking the land was a journey of faith. The Israelites, they had to take ownership of this land in faith. They had to take action, participate, fight for it against great odds, giants and fortified cities. But God was with them. And every giant fell, and every city's wall came down, and they took the land. It took them 20 years, but they took the land, because God was with them. Today, we too are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the heroes of faith, who only saw afar what we have today. Yeah. The Noahs, the Abrams, the Sarahs, the Gideons, the Davids. So the list goes on. They today are our great cloud of witnesses, standing and watching upon us, cheering us on. They are the spies that come back with the good report that God is faithful to do what He said. Just take the step of faith. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So how do we get started? While we leave the world, it's the first step. Is to leave the world and the things in this world, and that what drives this world. And we take those steps of faith to follow God. We grow in our faith until we gain an understanding and an insight that it is not just of what I can gain in this life, but what is gained for eternity. And as our faith has grown past what we can get to what God has purposed, we take ownership of that inheritance and we participate. We take possession of it. How does that practically look like? That's next week. But today, the question is, are you willing to take ownership of a promise of eternity, a kingdom that is advancing today? Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Will you consider today that invitation? Will we consider today that Jordan, that step of faith that it needs to take possession? We have an inheritance and a kingdom that is waiting for us. We have received the commission. We've been given the keys and the authority. We have been given the power through the Holy Spirit. And more than anything else, Jesus says, I am with you all the way. Are you willing to take the step? Are you willing to take ownership of your inheritance, our inheritance? We are all on this bank of the Jordan. Hebrews 12 says we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I am no Joshua. But 30 years ago, as a 16-year-old boy, I made a decision. I'm going to cross the Jordan. And I didn't know about the giants or the cities. I didn't care. The only thing that I knew is that God is for me. No, we read it. We heard it, the prophetic word. Who can be against us? That's the only thing that I have. I was like the guy with the two fish and the five loaves. It's not enough, Lord, but here it is. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. And those who have faith in Him will do great things in His name. And so God calls us again. He says, this is your inheritance. Look, the harvest is white. But the laborers are few. It's not our salvation. It is our reward. And God says, I've given you everything you need. I'm with you. Just take the step. The question is, are we willing? What it looks like is not so important this morning. That's next week. But the most important thing is, are you willing to believe God? Like Abram, even though he didn't know where God was taking him, he chose to believe, to trust in Him and take that step, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And even though he made mistakes, God remained faithful. That's all God is looking for. Simple, childlike faith. Say, God, I am not afraid. I do not fit the armor. I have no weapons. But give me the five stones. Foolishness, but I'm not afraid of this Philistine because you are with me. And so God calls us, and I want the ushers to hand out for us the elements of communion as we consider together this morning God's call. The only thing that I knew is if God is for me, I can do it. You know what? So can you. So can you. God is not looking for perfect people. He's not even looking for gifted ones. He picked fishermen. He said, follow me. And I will make you, I will change you to become something else. I will make you fishers of men. And immediately, they left everything. They believed. They stood up, stepped out in faith, and we know the rest is history. So God calls each one of us this morning. Stand at that Jordan, make a decision to take what is ours, what God has already promised. Let's consider that for a moment. I want you just to close your eyes. Just in your own words, just respond to the Lord. Thank you. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son in the kingdom of darkness, in the midst of darkness. And a battle was raging over the souls of men and women. And God defeated the devil. He defeated not only the devil a second time, He defeated sin and death through dying and raising His Son from the dead. Jesus already established the victory. He said, the promised land, I have already destroyed the enemy's power. I've established a bridgehead, and it's yours for the taking. Stand up with me as we go and take what is rightfully yours. And so, Lord, we are reminded again today of your word and your promises, Lord. And if there's any doubt, Lord, we can see how you send your Son to establish it. How you died, how you paid the price, how you overcame sin and death, and how you was raised to new life. Lord, this bread is a symbol, Lord, of what you have paid for us. Not of what we have done, but what you have done. And you said it is finished. And so, Lord, today we stand in faith in what you have promised and the covenant that you have made to prove to us that everything you said is true. As we eat together, we choose to believe in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed to give us assurance that whosoever believes in you have eternal life, will not perish, but have eternal life. That we are embraced, called into this kingdom, and that you have empowered us by your Spirit and gave us this great privilege to take what is already ours. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you that our confidence is not in ourselves, but in you. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. And Lord, we worship you for this sacrifice. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. And Lord, we pray this morning that we will not doubt your word. We will not listen to the reports of those who say it is impossible and too hard, but we will look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we will run this race that you have set before us, like you did, looking at the end, despising the shame and the pain. You looked at the goal and you finished the race. Lord, help us to run in the same way. And while we are praying here this morning, if there is anybody here today that you want to give your life to God, you want to start this race with Him, you want to surrender your life, to give your life to Him in response of what He's done, if you want assurance that when you die today, you will meet God in glory and love and acceptance, not in fear and horror, but knowing that you have a place in His kingdom. If you want to surrender your life, return to Him, whoever you are. Now is the time to respond to Him. While all the eyes are closed, just raise your hand and say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life. I want to respond to your sacrifice. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Just now, thank you. Is there anyone else? That is why we come together. He said, together we can come to this place of unity of faith, assurance of our salvation. Is there anyone else who wants to give their life to God right now? And I want us all to pray together with those who have. Whether you're returning or making a new commitment. Thank you, Father, for giving me your Son so that I may have life. I choose to believe that your word is true. You have come to save me, and I believe. And I commit today that I will follow you in faith all the days of my life. And I will see you face to face in my inheritance with you forever in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to pray for the rest of us, Lord, that we will not look to armor and weapons. We will not look to our own ability and strength, but we will look to you. When we see the promise, when we see the inheritance, Lord, we will be like David that run and look for the stones, not for the weapons or the armor, because you are with us. God, grant us to give us this confidence as we enter the promised land that you are with us and nothing is impossible with you. Lord, I pray for a passion and a zeal, Lord, to be birthed in this town, in this nation, Lord, to take hold of your word, take the gospel like what has been prophesied for so long from this point of Africa, take it wherever we go, that your gospel may spread with those who are bold, who believe, who run like David, Lord, who run to the giants, not away from them. Pick up the stones and know that you are with us, God. I pray for that great confidence in faith. God, give us that expectation to be used by you in whichever way you choose to use us. But let us be willing and ready on that day when you call us, when there's an opportunity, that we will be able with great confidence to share of your love, of your word. I pray that within our hearts, Lord, make us expectant. Make us willing, God. Make us take your banner and run and claim this town, our families, our businesses, everywhere we go, Lord. May we claim it for you because you've already given it for us. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Let's all stand together. We're going to end off in worship. If you're in need of prayer, if there's healing, sickness, if you're in distress or stress, and there's things that you need prayer for, we're going to be here while we worship. Please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. But let's just end this service in worshiping God.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.